Joint Special Committee on Professional Responsibility, June 11th, 1973, work session on 2530, lobbying regulations.
I would like very much to write a bill.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a book.
No, I'm going to wait for the Great American Novel to retire.
2530, that's a house job.
Okay, let's just go through the bill. And we have input from Common Cause. We have input from the lobbying. Anybody in the room is welcome to contribute a thought. And if the committee likes it, we'll accept it. If the committee doesn't like it, we won't accept it. I guess that's kind of plain, isn't it? Chuck, do you want to make sure we're legal?
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
I'll accept it.
I move that we adopt the Capital Budget Amendment on May 28th. And the bill that we work on.
If
I dated mine, maybe you didn't. It was an amendment.
May 28th, you say?
Representative Cole moves to adopt the proposed amendment of May 28th to House Bill 5330. 2530. And work from this, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Is there any discussion?
The reason I say that is because I think the amendments that have been proposed are a much more comprehensive bill, yet speak to the issue.
Good, and we will take note of Mr. Frohmeyer's suggestions when we come to them.
Yeah, we do have very good suggestions.
I think that's probably a good suggestion. Okay.
Where does it speak to the, I want to find out where it speaks to the time for the disclosure.
That's on the...
saying that we will
adopt them and then,
work
from there,
and
we
then
can
fiddle change. Around with them and
section 5, okay.
Yeah.
And Common Cause. Gives us a place to start. Any further discussion or study? Clerk Colerole.
Representative Drelly?
Aye.
Representative Cole?
Aye.
Representative Engel?
Aye. How did Cole get ahead of Drelly on the roll call last month?
Alphabetical.
We changed the alphabet tonight, sir.
Okay.
Grant, will you take the First Amendment is on page 2 of the Senate bill on line 2. Delete disclosure in the same line, delete repealing and insert amending. Relating to lobbying. Creating new provisions.
Amending ORS 171.
And amending ORS 171760. And delete line 171770. Okay, Chuck, what's 171770? What happened? There you
go. Well, Mr. Chairman, as you will recall, the approach of the original bill was to wipe out the existing law entirely. And so this is one of the sections that would not otherwise be affected by the amendment. By the approach, if you accept the approach of amending the existing law.
Okay, keep that in mind, and in case we make any changes later on that do amend that bill, and I don't know whether Dave Frohmeyer do later on or not. The next one is in line 5, after line 5, insert section 2, 5. Do you have a copy of these, Earl? We got an extra copy?
We're getting some Xerox.
Do you have an extra copy?
No, we're going to get them Xerox and bring them up in a minute.
Sections 2, 5, and 8, and 10 of this Act are added to be made a part of ORS 171-755 and 171-775. Dick, is this all copacetic? So far, I don't know what we've said, but I guess that isn't anything different. In line 6, delete 1 and insert 2. Where is line 1? Or where is section 1?
That's what you inserted, remember?
I don't see where it says that.
Yeah. Section 1. This is after line 5, insert section 1.
Okay. Right. Okay, section 2 would then read, Legislative Assembly declares that the operation of responsible democratic government requires that the fullest opportunity be afforded to the people to petition their government for redress of grievances. My God, we're rewriting Thomas Jefferson. And to express opinions freely to individual members of the Legislative Assembly, to committees of the Legislative Assembly, and to executive officials. And there's a change in line 11.
Delete the
rest of the line. Okay, now this is what we're deleting.
I would suggest...
Speak right up.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, that I'd rather do it the other way around. I would delete what your Jeffersonian prose there and take what is deleted as a statement of purpose for...
Sure makes more sense.
Yes, I would think so, too. I mean, the other is just a nice statement.
Mr. Representative Cole has moved we amend the amendments to delete everything down to officials and then start Section 1 with the Legislative Assembly fines that to preserve and maintain the integrity.
Take out further.
If there's no objection, poor old Tom Jefferson is relegated to the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, right? Okay, we now have Section 1. The Legislative Assembly finds that to preserve and maintain the integrity of the legislative administrative process, it is necessary that the identity, expenditures, and activities of certain persons who engage in efforts to persuade members of the Legislative Assembly or the Executive Branch to take specific actions, either by direct communication to such officials or by solicitation of others to engage in such efforts, be publicly and regularly disclosed.
That would be Section 2, though.
Yeah, Section 2, excuse me.
You referred to Section 1.
Two. Is there any objection?
So be it.
Okay, new Section 3. Okay, well, let's look to make sure what we're deleting. Deleting.
Make a cross-section as we go through it and see if... What it does is amend the existing lobbying statute.
What amendment is proposed is that ORS 171-755 be amended to read 171-755, but use no ORS 171-755 and to 171-755.
Now, we made some changes already, I think, in that.
Yeah. We inserted something after line 30. Line 30 on page 2, we inserted something
in. That's all out. We changed the definition of lobbying by adding some.
Lobbying means influencing or attempting to influence by direct communication the passage or defeat of a measure by the Legislative Assembly, or the approval or veto thereof by the governor, or attempting to influence other executive branch action or inaction regarding passage, defeat, or veto of legislation. Okay, where's that go now?
We were going to define legislation and call to include rulemaking, were we not? At the administrative level?
Yeah.
I've got a note on
it. Yeah, it says, the note says you put in legislation and then
define.
Yeah, leave it in define, include rulemaking. And as a matter of fact, my copy is read, lobbying means influencing or attempting to influence by direct communication.
Yeah. I just read that, but I'm not... Where does that go?
Right there.
That would be your
section
3.
That is section 3.
That would be your section 3.
Okay. Now, we don't need to define any of these other... administrative action or compensation or executive official legislative action?
Well, we were going to define legislation, I think.
Okay.
Were we not?
Yeah.
No, wouldn't
you? That's no excuse. Then you think that's all the definitions we need, George?
Says delete pages 3 through 8. And we'll only leave the 2-page show. I think I'm going to do the paper green.
It's fun to get out there.
Just retain what's in the statute now.
Yeah.
Okay, now. We don't need administrative action. Well, it's in our definition. If you look at the first section 2, it says...
Why are all deleted there, Coach?
Well, the section 2 that is now 3, I mean the 3 that is
you
now 2,
well.
Is that what you were...
I told you 7:30.
Did you get anything to eat?
A little bit.
Are you drunk? Let the minutes record that...
Conflict of interest.
Let the minutes record that Representative Lindquist is not drunk.
So we can all say hip, hip,
hooray
about that.
Thanks a lot.
Strike that.
Would the minutes tell who is?
The amendments delete the remainder of the original bill.
I appreciate that. But I don't want to get rushed into this.
Well, I know, but you're saying that Section 2 has that in it. It doesn't have it in it because it's deleted by the amendments unless we want to put it back.
If you'll read new Section 2... Legislative Assembly finds that to preserve and maintain the integrity of legislative and administrative process, it is necessary to identify expenditures and activities of certain persons to engage to persuade the Legislative Assembly or the Executive Branch.
Okay. What's your question?
Administrative action. You think that needs to be defined? Mrs. Paulus, we adopted the second part of the old Section 1, leaving out the Declaration of Independence.
Section 1 is now Section 2 of the, in the bill.
And we have the second sentence there. Thought you had a broken leg.
Lobbying, and the definition of lobbying, then, is satisfactory to you?
No.
Yeah.
Well, this says lobbyist means any person who agrees to provide his personal services for money or any other consideration for the purpose of lobbying. And I think it's got to be, I like the definition of the original bill better. Lobbyist means any person, whether or not compensated or reimbursed for expenses. What was your objection to that definition?
Well, I think
I'm concerned about lobbyist means any person, whether or not compensated. And this, I think that's the better definition than the one in the Capital Clause bill.
Well, you've got that on page 2 of their bill, their amendment, as their C, any person who provides personal services without compensation as a representative of the corporation, association, organization, or other group for the purpose of lobbying.
Okay.
As a C.
That's right.
Yeah, the question is whether you want more of administrative action.
I don't know. Do we need the definition of administrative action? Do we need definition of compensation? Do we need to explain? Are those in the present statute? Do we need a definition of an executive official, legislative action, or legislative official? David?
Well, the...
Yeah, you're David.
Sorry, that's
Danny
Cole. No,
I'm
Andrew. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I think you could do... because no matter which bill you choose, you'll have some question as to what is legislation, what is compensation. There are various exceptions which are worded in terms of receiving or not receiving compensation. So I think that those are desirable. I don't think you need the definition of administrative action. Pursuant to your suggestion last time, I have redrafted, if you'd like, the definition of legislative action, which would include the only kind of administrative action that is formal rulemaking.
How come we got you people on one side and those people on the other side? Don't you intermingle and it's all for the benefit of the people of Oregon, sort of thing? Why did you cut these out, these definitions?
Exactly. executive action and legislative action. And I don't believe that executive action would encompass administrative rulemaking.
Was it? What, there we go. Did you intend, did Common Cause intend to influence anything other than legislation for
this?
Yes,
originally the idea was to include lobbying of administrative agents, but based upon discussions here in the committee and further discussions in Common Cause, we felt that was much too sweeping for a bill that would indicate the first crack at attempting that. So this proposed amendment here would limit it to agencies when they're acting in a legislative capacity, that is, making or promulgating formal rules under the Administrative Procedure Act. That is formal agency action. Felt that that's something that can be isolated. You don't have to guess as to what the agency is doing, but that's something you can always point to when an agency is operating under Chapter 183 in the APA. And rulemaking is sufficiently well defined in Chapter 183 that this I think wouldn't hurt for certainty in that regard. So my suggestion, and it's only a suggestion that's embodied in the first two amendments there, would be to strike altogether the reference to administrative action and simply expand the definition of legislative action to include that limited category of agency rulemaking.
Okay. As George says, we're faced with a policy decision. Is it the will of the committee that the bill be expanded to include agency action, or is it the intent of the committee to include only legislative action?
As far as the rulemaking power is concerned, is there some way that there's a time element tied in with the rulemaking procedures, or how do you determine?
Yes. An agency is required 20 days before it takes action to give notice in the administrative rule book.
I know that, but I mean as far as lobbying for rulemaking, how do you determine that?
Well, I would assume it would take place only when the rulemaking proceedings are taking place. That is, only between the time that notice is given
and the time that the rule is promulgated. So it would be within that time. Do you agree that if it weren't restricted to that
time, it'd be unenforceable? Right. That's why I wrote.
An agency can conceivably act on any
subject, make a rule with any subject in its jurisdiction, and that's just too much.
All right. Do you understand what we're voting on?
Yep.
Earl?
Well, as the bill is written, it does embrace that. I mean, the policy decision would be to narrow whether or not to narrow it.
Our problem is that in George's motions, we have adopted the proposed House amendment to House Bill 2530 as date of May 28th. Those are not, that does not include administrative action.
The preamble that you...
The preamble that we changed, however, says the legislative and administrative processes. Now, we've got to take that out of there, the administrative processes, or else...
We'll expand the rest of it, too.
Mr. Chairman, to ask another question, we've taken the first half of the preamble out.
Right.
Well, preambles are just garbage as far as drafting is concerned. Why one half and not all of it?
We go along with deleting the whole thing.
You mean the whole bill?
Well, I mean, as far as legally draft to be a... Well, to be, you know, if you're going to have any purism or purity as far as your legal drafting is concerned, preambles are just not good drafting. Oh, it isn't?
If it were a preamble, it would come before the enacting clause. That would be correct. But this would actually be the final.
I guess what the motion should be is to strike "and administrative" in what is not the preamble.
Because legislative is expanded below. So moved.
It's been moved by Representative Paulus that the words "and administrative" on line 12 be stricken. Stricken or admitted? Omitted. Is there any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Cole.
Aye.
Representative Drelling.
Aye.
Representative Lindquist?
No.
Representative Paul.
Aye.
And
aye. Now, Dave, what does that do to your amendment?
Nothing, because the amendment is simply redefined and expanded the meaning of legislative action to include that limited category of administrative action, which is legislative in its focus, legislative rulemaking.
Okay.
So if, that is to say, it doesn't do anything if you were to adopt the proposal, the proposed addition to the existing definition of legislative action, subdivision 4 of section 2. If you were to... The capital funding bill, I believe, does not include that definition. If you were to insert that definition of legislative action and add the proposed amendments that I suggested to you in the handouts I just handed out, then that would accommodate any concerns we have.
I'm not in the period after the number.
Well, hello, Senator.
I may just come down here and listen to what you're doing.
A lot more exciting than what you're doing here.
Well, Mr. Chairman, couldn't we build in the... in that administrative reference in our definition of lobbying, which I thought was the original intent.
Well, I think we have to make a decision, George, of whether we're going to get involved in laying down lobbying rules to effect legislation by agencies. Isn't that really what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
All right, is that our intention? Is that what the committee wants?
Excuse me.
Or are we writing a lobbyist bill relative to the legislative session? Peg, do you have an idea? What do you want to do?
I'm just going over this, what they're proposing here.
Ed?
So excuse me a minute.
Let me check this.
Norma?
Well, I think that I'd have to agree with Common Cause that the legislature is going to, it should be expanded to the administrative process as long as it's in that, it's definable within that 20-day period when they're in the public hearing period. And it's strictly set out by statute. And if it isn't tied to that, I would oppose it because I don't think you could enforce it because Ike might be lobbying some administrative agency today and they're making a ruling a year from now. How are you going to control it?
You're suggesting it apply only to the hearing, public hearing process.
Well, I think that they've got the amendment restricts it here and that the legislative action should be expanded and that's the proper way to include it in the draft.
335 speaks to the 20-day period. Can it be encouraged before a body, for example, our board of commons can make all of these rules and regulations as far as the commons? I appear before the board to give testimony, would I even be considered lobbying?
If it's within the structure set out by ORS 183, which is the Administrative Procedure Act, and that's the when they publish notice from the public hearings, and yeah, if you appear before a public hearing on behalf of the pharmaceutical companies and recommend a change or a certain rule to be adopted, then you would be lobbying. Is that right?
Yes, except that in the new additions to the exception section on section 4 of the amendment that's proposed here, this would parallel the exemption for formal appearances for testimony to legislative bodies, so that if Mr. Speckman's only lobbying task was to make a formal appearance, and if he registered his appearance in the records of the agency, then he would not be required to register or report. So that would be a parallel exemption to the exemption for formal appearance at legislative hearings.
The thing that always bothers me when you get into board stuck on my own particular circumstances, I attend mostly all of the board meetings as board of commons. Half the time I just sit there and listen to what they're doing. But I attend them all.
Not intended to be covered.
But if you buttonhole a commissioner within that 20-day period and make suggestions one way or another, that would be lobbying.
But if you're just attending the meetings, that's not lobbying in any definition, and that's not anything to be covered.
So, as long as it's tied into the time sequence so that you have no difficulty in determining it, it seems to me would be reasonable.
John? Mrs. Borelli? Okay, that's the unanimous opinion of the committee.
Well, they've got it.
Yeah, they're lobbying.
Well, it could be under legislation like David suggested, shouldn't it be? It's better drafting if you down here under subsection 4.
Well, we don't have a definition of legislation.
Legislation, don't we?
Well, no, in adopting these Capital Club amendments, we don't have that. You could by putting it in subsection 1 of their section 3, just go right down there and say other executive branch action or inaction regarding passage, defeat, or veto of legislation, comma, or any formal rulemaking proceedings of the state agency required to be held pursuant to ORS 183. Does that work, Dave?
Yeah, but I honestly think, again, even if you're rejecting all of our section 2, is to take subsection 4, which is a comprehensive definition of legislative action, and add to it the suggested amendment, which I've given to you in number 2.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so then you would add that 4.
I see no real reason for having it. I don't think there's, maybe I'm wrong in this case, correct? But I don't think there's any substantive reason why the Capital Club draft should have omitted all of the definitions that were contained in section 2.
Well, this is where I was trying to find out.
Yeah,
do we need...
It's a very useful device, and it's time cross-referencing.
Is there any objection to leaving in the original bill's definition of administrative action? Or do we need it? That's what I'm trying to find.
We don't need that one, but I think compensation.
I'm just trying to find out. Now, compensation includes a gift payment, distribution, loan, advance, or deposit of money or anything of value. It includes a contract, promise, or agreement, whether or not legally enforceable, to make compensation. Do we need that one? Because we've got definition of compensation defined someplace, haven't we?
Yes, sir, you've got that in your exception section.
Right. I think we need that one. Unless it's someplace else in the bill.
I don't think it is.
Well, the definition in the sub A of lobbyists or any other consideration.
Whether or not.
That's pretty broad.
Yeah, I don't understand that in the original bill, the subsection 2, that last part of the sentence. I don't understand that.
What'd you say, George?
I think you can make a contract and receive
compensation,
but I don't know whether
floating
you can
around,
make
I'm not
a
sure
contract and make compensation.
Was that
sub 2 of section 2?
The only thing you're talking about would be legislative action and perhaps legislative official.
If we use subsection 6 definition of lobbyist, which means any person, whether or not compensated or reimbursed, what the hell is the difference? Why do we need a definition of compensation?
I'm surprised. The exception section, however, does contain exemptions. Two different subsections for persons who receive no compensation may have limited exceptions. For example, then at least a proposed redraft of that exception section.
Well, if the uniform throughout these amendments, we should change compensation to consideration.
That's true. Whichever term is adopted should be consideration.
The existing statute uses consideration rather than compensation. It's only in the amendments that they make reference to compensation.
Okay.
I'm having to have a definition of compensation, which never
this definition in the bill isn't sound.
Yeah, I don't understand the last part of that.
Doesn't make sense.
If you want to insert with or without consideration somewhere in this.
Well, I've got that over there, what a lobbyist is.
Well, have you made a committee decision that you want to include the citizens?
Not yet, because we haven't come to that yet.
No, I don't.
No,
I'm talking about the definition of lobbyist is in the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
I don't like it.
Just an extra.
Yeah, I think so. Well, that's, yeah.
I don't think you got
your reason. No, you haven't. We have a definition of lobbying that we've adopted.
Right.
Lobbying.
And that is.
Lobbying means influencing or attempting to influence by direct communication the passage or defeat of a measure by the Legislative Assembly or the approval or veto thereof by the governor, or attempting to influence other executive branch action or inaction regarding passage, defeat, or veto of legislation. I wonder if we should add something to that, or executive or agency ruling.
You don't have to, as long as you expand the definition of legislation and legislative action.
Right.
It's a better way to draft it.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you attorneys haven't told me whether we need a definition of consideration or not. Chuck, do you know of any?
Which is not legally enforceable, for example, would not be legal consideration, but it still might be relevant.
Why is that last two clause on there, last, whether or not legally enforceable to make a consideration, why is that on there?
Well, this is a definition of compensation which is taken from the Federal and California Act, and the purpose of it is if a promise is outstanding, it may be a promise, for example, which is usurious, a loan of some kind, therefore not legally enforceable, although a person might choose to perform the contract anyway. And all the definition attempts to do is simply be comprehensive as to all the various kinds of contracts which might legally be made.
Do we need it?
I think you force the courts to guess if you don't define it, but I don't know if it's not fatal to the bill one way or the other.
Well, I'm suggesting we leave your definition of consideration in there.
Consideration?
Yeah.
Compensation.
Well, I'm suggesting consideration to make it consistent. Isn't that what you want to think, Joyce?
Is that what's used throughout the rest of the building, or?
That was used in the rest of the building.
Yeah, there goes the only good thing I ever got from a lobbyist, that little calendar.
The way I have it, it would read, consideration includes a gift, payment, distribution, loan, advance, or deposit of money, or anything of value, includes a contract, promise, or agreement, whether or not legally enforceable, to make consideration.
Do you need that last three words?
I don't know. Do we need the last phrase?
You take those last three words off?
I think that reads.
It doesn't say
you
can't do it.
Put a period after enforceable. Okay, that's subsection 1 of section 2, of section 3, right?
Is that? Okay,
the next one says executive official means any member, officer, or employee of a state commission, department, agency, and so on. We need that. We took all these out once.
We deleted that.
Certainly we know what an executive official is someplace in the law, don't we?
No,
Then delete that section.
Take out three.
Three.
Well, all three.
Two.
Legislative action. Is there no definition of the law of legislative action?
I'm
going to
have to back off that last statement I made.
Whoops.
I'm sorry, but it seems to me you do need a definition of executive official, because that is the person who is the object of lobbying attempts even during that limited rulemaking period of time. So it seems to me that you do need that, or else you have a lobbyist who paradoxically isn't lobbying anybody.
That's right.
If you included that and then added afterwards to take any administrative action pursuant to ORS 183.335, then you narrow it to officials who participate in the rulemaking process.
What did you say again, Dave?
Just take the existing definition of executive official and add, strike the period and add the words pursuant to ORS chapter 183.335.
Committee agree? Committee disagree.
George doesn't agree.
It doesn't fit in the rest of the minutes. There's no place else to talk about an executive official. We talk about lobbying as being the influencing. Half these are defeated measures or legislation. We don't talk about influencing an individual.
We talk about influencing an agency of the executive department at public hearings and so forth.
Not under the definition of lobbying.
Not yet.
Not yet. I agree, not yet. But I thought the committee agreed that they intend to have this inclusive of hearings by the State Highway Department, the State Health Division, or whatever.
We're talking about increasing the definition of lobbying to encompass the formal rulemaking procedures of the administrative body.
All right, now.
Nowhere have we yet talked about an official in our definition.
Okay, let's decide what lobbying is.
We're influencing legislation.
By direct communication, legislation. Now, should something be added to that to encompass what the committee seems to want?
Yeah, if you add the word legislative action, and forget what I just said and strike executive official, you have that reference close, right? So if we ended up our definition of lobbying by veto of legislative action rather than legislation.
Well,
then
define legislative action. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. If you just want to substitute the word legislation for the definition of legislative action, I think the committee just adopted it. Then that solves the problem.
Change the definition of change legislative action to legislation in step four.
Yes.
You should put, or any formal rulemaking proceedings of the state agency required to be held pursuant ORS 183.335 at the end of it. It should be on line 2 of page 3 of the original printed bill. And then you would not need the definition of executive official, is that correct?
Yes, instead of the word legislative action, which is in definition, you would put quote legislation.
Yeah, right.
And then you would adopt Representative Cole and Castle Cubs. That's lobbyists.
wording again you'd add on line two?
You should have a copy of his.
Just take it out of here. Huh?
Yeah, so I'm sticking his date 6/11. In the number two. Were any formal rulemaking proceedings of the state agency required to be held pursuant to?
Not yet. I'm still working. I'll get it before we go on to the next one, though.
Yeah, the end of sub four, line two of the old printed bill.
Page 183.
His language is, Dave's language is down in the number two on his page there.
Okay.
The last two lines.
Are you with us, Dick? Any problems?
Well, committee's already decided to expand that to administrative action. We had left it out for a purpose. But if the state already decided
to... Do you want to argue against putting it in?
Well, I'll just give you the reasons we left that legislation. We feel that probably everybody in this
country
has something about the process. We're launching a bill that's going to be subject to a lot of trial and error anyway. If it gets on the book over a period of time, it's going to be subject to further expansion. But whenever you put in administrative agency in any degree, then what happens is it follows a whole series of interpretations, many of which are themselves subject to a wide variety of interpretations. And we think that what mainly people want to see now is something that has to do with the legislative process that we're involved in now, the legislative session, and those measures that are before this. And the whole system of reporting all the lobbyist activity that has to have records and everything kept then becomes, we feel, this starting phase of getting something like this done becomes inordinately burdensome, and we don't know, really a person wouldn't know what's what. So we felt the more simple you keep it at this stage, the better off you are. And so if we use terms of ordinary meaning and usage, we feel that generally those often stand up the best if they're later subject to court interpretation. And that's why we felt confining it this time would probably be desirable.
Okay, anybody on the committee want to change what we've already done? Are you happy with it? Nobody seems to want to change it. Okay, then, do we need legislative official? Means any candidate for legislative assembly in primary or general election, a member or member-elect of the legislative session. How can it mean, how can a legislative official mean a candidate for the legislative assembly?
You need to define that way. The object of drafting a test program is to include persons who are lobbied in effect before they even become legislators. This could be a campaign expenditure reporting kind of.
But wouldn't the definition of lobbyists that we've adopted is in the existing law cover everybody? It's any person who is lobbying.
Yes, but there's a. I would think that legislative official, again, is primarily important for the exception section. And there's an exception for legislative official acting in the course of his official duty. The point is, you don't want a legislator who obviously is engaged in the art of persuasion to have to register under this law. And the one way to defend them is to define them comprehensively.
Does the candidate, as you said, because Congress has contributions to invest under the.
I don't, again, I may find that to be particularly necessary as part of the bill one way or the other. The definition is comprehensive to cover the waterfront, but I don't think that's essential to the bill, but it includes persons other than those who are currently serving or who have just been elected.
Well, I don't mind making a legislative official means a member or member-elect of the Legislative Assembly, any member of commission established by or responsible to the Legislative Assembly of either house thereof, and any staff person, assistant, or employee thereof.
The way that's drafted in the bill,
Lobbying a guy before he's even elected. Okay. Now, if we ought to add anything to it. A legislative official means member or member elect of the Legislative Assembly. Any member of a commission, doesn't that take care of you, Thomas?
No, because this says established by and responsible to the Legislative Assembly.
Where are you at? Okay. What do you want it to say?
Highway Commission is responsive to the executive department.
Now, Norma, relative to what you say, could we move the commission to the end there, or an executive commissioner or a state agency or whatever?
What is the purpose of it?
Well, if you leave out
commission anyway, Dave, what is
it? I don't. What is it really intended to pick up something like a law revision? A member of am I correct in assuming the law revision commission is appointed by the legislature?
I don't know.
Well, let's assume that it is. Let's assume that commission is. The point of this is largely significant for purposes of the exception section, that a law revision commission member who's acting in that kind of capacity ought not to be defined as a lobbyist, but as, in fact, an employee of the legislature, even though the person serving the compensation. The exemption section, again, as I have proposed that it be amended in Section 4, would exempt any legislative official acting in an official capacity. Point is simply you don't want, it seems to me not desirable to require people who are in fact employed by or appointed by the legislature.
Well, why was it in the first place? There's no reference to an exception section in the original bill.
Section
86,
Section 86.
Lance, I didn't know you came tonight.
Section 8, yes.
The only place is next. Section 4, subsection 2.
As the bill was envisioned, there were two or three reports. One was to prohibit a person who is a legislative official from being a lobbyist, that is, from being paid compensation for lobbying, apart from the pay rate. The second was to permit an exemption for a person who is a legislative official, so that person doesn't have to register and report.
Is that reference on page 6 enough to make it put back in? Leave it in? Where's that in there? A legislative official shall receive compensation from any place necessary.
Then I don't think the candidate does.
No, we took out the candidate.
And do you have the assistant or employee of the Legislative Assembly? Line 7? Has that been included in that?
That's still there. But now Norma is worried about agencies and commissions, which is not in there.
There's no need to put it in.
Well, the only reason for having these definitions of officials is so we can exclude them later on. Is that right? So we're going to exclude executive officials and legislative officials and
there for public officials is really far more sweeping even than executive officials.
And you don't have a definition of public official.
Well, I would assume that it picks up everyone, public official or employee acting in an official capacity. Actually, the current definition in the law right now.
Well, isn't a legislative official? Legislative official is a public official, but they're not candidates. Do you want candidates?
No, we took the candidates out. It now reads legislative official.
If you're taking out candidates, then if you're going to adopt the new proposed amendment, Mr. Drumeyer brought it, he excludes any public official or employee acting in official capacity. That's the word.
I think it's useful to differentiate legislative officials simply because different prohibitions are applicable to them in that one, Section 8, on page 6, and that would prohibit a legislative official from being a lobbyist. You don't necessarily want to prohibit a public official from doing that. Say, mayor of a town might be lobbying for some other purpose. So it seems to be useful to distinguish between the two.
If we change the definition of legislative official to lead candidate,
yes.
Is that your idea?
Yes.
Make it read members or members elect.
Right.
Any member of the commission established by or responsible, should it be?
Established by.
Some we establish are responsible to
better with
the gov.
That's right. Most of them are executive commission.
Okay, change that conjunction to or.
But that takes care of all.
We establish them all.
They're not responsible.
Well, we made it established by or.
Or responsible to the legislative assembly. Or either house thereof. Why is that in there? I guess.
Could they be responsible only one house?
Yeah, we had task force appointed at one time by the house, not the Senate.
Probably not legally.
No, I don't think it was. Okay, let's get on with it, if that's all right, the way we've amended it. Norma, are you happy?
Yes, so.
Okay.
Now, it's now four, is that correct?
No,
it's
probably three.
Four
isn't it?
And three.
No,
it is four.
Four, okay.
The first one is administrative action, the second is consideration, the third is legislation, the fourth would be legislative official.
Right. Okay. Now,
excuse me?
Your definition would be administrative action. Two would be consideration.
Got that back in there again.
Three would be legislation.
That's
you take that out?
Administrative action. Consideration
would be your first, is that correct?
Consideration is one.
All right. Then
old one and three are out.
Okay.
So this is three.
Two. Three, not. It has been read that staff person, assistant, or employee thereof. And I have on my copy there crossed out an employee of the Legislative Assembly. I have that amendment. Does anybody else?
Where does it go?
On line 7, I have such a notation, employee of the Legislative Assembly.
Instead of thereof?
Yeah. I don't know whether that's necessary or not, but this is a notation that I apparently have picked up from previous.
I think thereof refers directly back to legislative assembly.
Either now.
Yeah. Okay, four. A lobbyist means any person, whether or not compensated, or reimbursed for expenses.
We got that.
Lobbyist means any person who agrees to provide his personal services for money or any other consideration for the purpose of lobbying.
Can we go back here just a minute?
Yes.
Five, your definition of lobbyist, legislative official, that means the guy sweeping the floor over in the highway building.
You want directly responsible.
How's that tied in?
Receiving compensation from any person other than the word, for acting as a lobbyist.
But isn't it drafted so if they buy him a cup of coffee?
Well, for acting as a lobbyist.
Isn't tied into the receiving of compensation.
Uh-uh. Now, the amendments that we've adopted read, lobbyist means any person who agrees to provide his personal services for money or any other consideration for the purpose of lobbying. They've taken out attempting to influence legislation.
Because that's up under definition of lobbying. And lobbying is right above. That would have to be your core.
Yeah, lobbying means influencing or attempting to influence by direct communication the passage or defeat of a measure by the legislative assembly or the approval or veto thereof by the governor, or attempting to influence other executive branch action or inaction regarding passage, defeat, or veto of legislation. Then we define.
Yeah, you change measure above, so it's legislation in both places. This measure would be defeat of legislation.
Words by the legislative assembly, which follow legislation, as much as for that limited rulemaking provision, we'll be talking about state agencies.
I'm not sure how we're going to get that back in here.
Well, legislation's already defined.
Okay. Yeah, I mean the agency thing.
You've got it. You've got it under your...
Defined legislation.
It's under your new 2, so that would be, if you struck the legislative assembly there, you would make it inclusive.
Yeah, if you struck by the legislative assembly, those 4 words, then you would have a coherent set of definitions.
Lobbying means influencing or attempt to influence by direct communication the passage, defeat of legislation, or the approval or veto. Okay. Now, lobbyist means any person who agrees to provide his personal services for money or other consideration for the purpose of lobbying. Any person who lobbies as a regular part of his employment, of his what? Is that what we have? What?
Reads any person, including a public employee. Mm-hmm.
No, we took that out, didn't we?
Took that out.
Did we put it back in?
Nothing. That public employee.
Any person.
We tried to cover that as a legislative official, didn't we?
That public employee would mean all public employees?
Any person.
We took that out.
I thought so too, but the sentence doesn't make any sense. Any person who lobbies as a regular part of his employment? Is that the way it's supposed to read now?
A regular part of his employment.
You don't need B.
Don't need B at all, do we?
B is now existing, though.
Okay.
And, but if you're going to take out public employee, not have the only reason it's in there, we don't have a little extra read for it. The only reason we left it in there as it's an existing law is that part of what is desirable is to find out who is lobbying, that is identification, as well as the other part of it. Then you might want it in, but if identity of who's doing the lobbying is not too important, then you can exclude the public employee.
There's a whole lot of public employees coming down.
Does anybody have a reason to leave B in here? Is B. George, are you arguing with him about something else, or are you arguing with him about this? Oh, okay. Nobody has any objection to taking B out, then, I take it. Why don't you come to the meeting of the Legislative Assembly? Okay, C would become B. Any person who provides his services without compensation as a designated representative of a corporation, association, organization, or other group for the purpose of lobbying, but does not include persons who receive no compensation and to limit their lobbying activities solely for formal appearances to give testimony before public sessions of committees of the Legislative Assembly or public hearings of state agencies, who register their appearance in the records of such committees or agencies.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we after the word register, we added or otherwise entered.
Otherwise, that's so the farmer in the back row can stand up and say, I'm Jim Jones and I agree with Sally Smith.
Now, what if this individual makes a formal appearance to give testimony, but he also comes and knocks on my door? Is he exempted?
He would then be a lobbyist.
Does he have to register?
Well, he just came from out here on Lancaster someplace, and he's
okay.
Giving testimony, and he's also my constituent, so he knocks on my door. Can't ask that person to.
What
will be defeating the citizen participation in the legislative process if we do that? Telling them that they can't come in unless they register.
Okay, here's the suggestion.
If he appears for himself, he is, but if he appears for a group, he is.
No.
Is that not right?
Other group, and also there was another amendment put in there, or own interest.
Yeah, that's or own interest written in, yeah.
Wow.
That is part of the amendment, though.
Evidently it isn't then.
Well,
okay.
It's on, was included on mine as well as his.
That was in my notes, and you copied my notes there, and about. It was one of the things that was brought up.
Where did that go in there?
After other group or own interest.
Oh, okay. Here is a suggested amendment. Any person not otherwise subject to A, or B, which we took out, of this section, who provides his personal services as a representative of a corporation, association, organization, or other group for the purposes of lobbying.
That takes care of those people.
That takes care of a lot of sin, doesn't it?
Yeah. Those officials who will come in maybe once, twice during a session to lobby, is that what they're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Any person not otherwise subject to A of this section who provides his personal services as a representative of a corporation, association, organization, or other group for the purpose of lobbying. That's a proposed amendment by AOI.
I called a lobbyist and asked him for some information which he could not give to me because he didn't have it. And so he is going to bring somebody down to Portland to talk to me. And I was wondering, is he going to then have to register as a lobbyist? This may be his only time. That amendment would exempt him, but would be his only appearance down here, and it's not going to be to give formal testimony.
Well, he's lobbying, but I don't know how he registers.
If he doesn't represent a group, he isn't.
Well, he is coming from a corporation. I need some information. The lobbyist has invited him to come down to give me that information. He doesn't have it himself.
I don't think that this would take care of that, I would think.
He's receiving compensation or not?
He's being compensated on his regular salary.
Somebody comes down here even before.
Boy, we've got so damn many amendments. Dave suggests persons who receive no compensation who limit their lobbying activity solely for formal appearances to give testimony before public sessions of committees of the Legislative Assembly or public hearings of state agencies and who, if they testify, register their appearance in the records of such committees or agencies.
Mr. Rectangle, I have a suggestion with respect to all these exceptions, and that is in a separate section. To define lobbyists reasonably comprehensively, and it seems to me that the AOI suggestion there is really a very good one on subdivision 2C, but the that all the exceptions be put in a separate section rather than attempting, as the first draft there did, to qualify it.
Sounds reasonable, Mr. Chairman.
That's in fact the way the law now reads. The exceptions are in a separate section.
Well, then, how do we get the guy who is lobbying and not getting paid for it? Like you.
This section right here, which...
it begins, any person who provides personal services without compensation.
Okay, and then...
And a representative of a corporation...
Designated representative.
Designated representative, right.
Or even the AOI text that it now reads, it seems from subsection numbers. From their draft of... any person not otherwise subject to A and B, or in this case not just A, meant to be provide personal services.
Oh, now if you put this B in and put a lobbying after, period. For the purposes of lobbying, period.
Yes.
All right, that would be B.
That would be B.
Okay.
That would be the end of the section.
And that's the end of the section, though. And then we turn to AOI's amendment, which is among those present. Yeah. Which says, any person not otherwise subject to A or B, you'd have to put that or B back in.
No, this is just a gather rewrite of what you've just done. AOI is substantially similar to what you've just done.
We're deleting the C in the amendment to put the AOI amendment.
Oh.
I am totally.
Now you've got an A and a B. You're talking about adding a C now or adding another section.
I've been alert all day.
I think you're good with A and B.
He's suggesting that this be put in as B, and then make a
new B.
Separate section which would include all the exemptions.
That's correct.
Yeah, your new B. So you've only got an A on.
But he's suggesting the AOI amendment as new B.
That's
correct.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
That's his new B.
Striking the word and B as
that would be B.
And that includes the free ones as well as the paid ones, doesn't it?
I would assume so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We need a separate section for all the exclusions.
Okay.
Okay, now just a minute. Does that include the two young dentists that came in, that live in Salem, that came in to see me today on the dentist bill?
They probably just
didn't.
She uses fluoride, you know, in her water.
We have to, whether we like
it. Couldn't help it, John Day. They she opened them out and they poured it in her.
Well, there's other definite.
If it doesn't, shall we get the exclusion
to get them out? It does. I think George is right. It includes them until we get your dentist and Peg executive out.
And my person out living out here on land camp or something.
No, I don't think we'll take the fish industry out.
Where do we get those fish skills out of there?
I'll tell you about that. Okay, the exemption. Let's get on with it. We're going to be here after the session ended.
That's part of the plan.
Just want to keep you alert.
David, you and Art want to take a crack at the exceptions? Or,
I tried to be comprehensive, but I may have missed some, and I know I missed one that the AOI is proposing today, but I think I can suggest five that maybe you can agree.
News media, public official, legislative official, persons who receive no compensation and limit their lobbying activities solely for formal appearances. That's no longer necessary, is it? Any individual who receives no compensation for lobbying who acts solely in his own behalf, and that includes Papadopoulos. Does not spend an amount in excess of $50 for personal postage or telephone.
Now, I would simply make two changes there. Both subdivisions 4 and 5 use the word compensation. I would change that to consideration in both cases. Then, since it's not
clear to me whether you're working with the, or how far you're working with the capital subdraft on the very last one.
Well, we've kind of departed from our first motion.
Well, let me suggest something.
Long time ago.
You eliminate any ambiguities whichever way you go, and that is in subdivision 5, where a friend of mine from Bonn says, first proposed using telephone during the reporting period. 4, I would insert the word lobbying and strike the balance.
Okay, let's go through these one by one. These are on Dave's proposed amendments, and we're talking about a separate and new section relative to exemptions.
Section 4. Section 4.
Yeah.
Existing legislation from which most of this is taken.
Okay. And they read as follows. 1. The provisions of Section 3, is that Section 3?
Yeah, Section 3.
Do not apply to the following persons, news media or their employees or agents who, in the ordinary course of business, publish or broadcast news items, editorials, or other comments or paid advertisements which directly or indirectly urge legislative action, if such persons engage in no other activities in connection with such legislative action. I would suggest that you take off that if such persons engage in no other activities.
This is taken exactly from the original. In other words, this would simply be reenacting the existing exception for news media, which says as long as they're editorializing, fine. If they're lobbying for their own publisher's interests, then they are lobbying. So that's a committee decision, obviously. This simply reenacts the now.
Well, I have received letters from a number of publishers and editorial writers throughout the state relative to Shield Bill. Thank you.
And legal.
Well, that is more in the lobby.
Say, while we're drinking this, stand it up, but it occurs to me that it might be very interesting to inquire into the origin of it.
Hopefully
that. I just think I'll have one of those little cups over there.
You just want water, though, not lobby 7.
You want 7 up?
Yeah, I'm going to have some lobby. Well,
that may come up in the second minority report.
Third, to follow.
I think that comes up in the second minority report on the conflict of interest bill. Wheeler Gracie learns about that. Okay, Dave, tell me about the newspaper publisher who writes a letter favoring the Shield Bill.
Well, I would assume that if the person is not compensated for it, that he oughtn't to have to register for it. But on the other hand, if the Oregon Newspaper Publishers Association or whatever...
They have a registered lobby.
They have a registered lobby. Well, the only point is that that continues to be the case.
Well,
but I would call that constitutional protected communication.
Okay. Well, my question is, the last two lines need to be on there, regardless of current law.
Well, I would tend to say yes, because otherwise the immediate exemption might be taken to be absolute, and I don't believe that
okay.
That's the intention of the first legislature to consider that.
Okay, sub 2 says, any public official or employee acting in his official capacity. Now that means when the State Highway Commissioner comes down and testifies for the Transportation Committee. Any legislative official acting in his official capacity, and that would mean when George comes down and says we need the fish bill. Right? Bills, excuse me. 4, persons who receive no consideration and who limit their lobbying activity solely for formal appearances to give testimony before public sessions of a committee of the Legislative Assembly. Do we need that in there? Of the Legislative Assembly?
I think so.
Or public hearings of state agencies and who, if they testify, register their appearance in the records of such committees or agencies. That's the mayor of Portland when he comes down to talk about mass transportation.
Mr. Chairman, I suggest that after no compensation we add other than travel expenses or something of that nature. Some of these people do get mileage.
Just for formal appearances. Persons who receive no compensation other than travel expenses?
Other than reimbursement of expenses.
Reimbursement of expenses.
compensation for lobbying. That's probably...
Then you can catch all.
And to limit their lobbying activities and so on. Five, any individual who receives no compensation for lobbying and who, acting solely on his own behalf, does not spend an amount in excess... you wanted to change there.
Yeah, simply in excess of $50 for personal postage and telephone during the reporting period for lobbying.
Oh, you got for lobbying up above.
Well, he receives no consideration for lobbying. And we're talking about the person's expenditures. This is the person who lobbies on his own.
Okay.
I don't see why you want to discourage people like Rich Chambers, who's a noticeable example, or there's a little man in Portland that's just hung up on traffic safety, and he Xeroxes every magazine he can get on traffic safety and drives his car and comes down here and puts his name on it and spreads it around in every office. And I'm sure that he spends, you know, $300 or $400 a session. I think that's his right as a citizen.
It is. We're not denying his right, we're just saying he registers.
Well, for the life of me, I don't see what you accomplished by that. You discourage the participation, I think.
You want to raise the amount above $50?
Well, that little man up there is never going to know that he's in violation of the law. Where's the justice?
You're going to tell him, aren't you, that he's in violation of the law?
Well, they all don't come to see me.
Aren't you glad?
We could have them all check it.
You have any comment there?
I think one concern is the Howard Hughes who comes in and spends $50 a thousand out of his own pocket.
Well, like who do we have?
We don't have any now.
Only Howard we have. Hughes we have is over in the highway department.
I wonder if the citizens of Nevada would have asked that same question 10 years ago. This is not a provision, I think, again, that's critical, but it's one that's simply designed to have some controls over persons who don't be compensated, others who are wealthy and spend their money. One of the first loopholes in the Federal Lobbying Act is the persons who lobby with their own money don't have to register and report.
Well, my district is right here in Salem, but there's other representatives from farther distances whose constituents call them. It doesn't take too many phone calls.
Norma, what if
any discretion whatsoever to add up to $50?
What if a guy owned a mining company in Douglas County, and he's a sole proprietor, and he I can't remember the guy's name. You know, from Douglas County, to put in a bill for him, and then he comes down and lobbies it. Markham.
Well, I suppose that if Oregon had a larger population and more industries, and that I see a problem in that, but I don't. I the one or two things that you're trying to cure are, you know, got a different reaction as far as the general citizen is concerned. And I'm sure that there are ranchers over in Ontario that they get hepped up about some branding bill or something, that they might make 3 or 4 phone calls or write letters or...
Mike, how much have you spent working on your bill?
Sir?
How much money have you spent working on your bill?
3 trips, 4 trips, I'm back. I'm going.
Phone calls?
Paper. $10,
$20,
$30. Why couldn't you place a reasonable dollar limit, say, of $100, but exempt personal travel and phone? Similar to the sorts of things that we exempt now for candidates. Candidates don't have to report their personal travel. They don't have to report phone calls.
There's no way that you could do that.
Why couldn't you exempt?
I mean, no way you could keep track of it.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why they don't make candidates do that. They can, of course, if they want to, but most don't, and they're not required to. Why couldn't you exempt personal, although I know this is one of Senator Ripper's major concerns, but exempt personal phone, personal travel, and put a limit of $100 or $200.
This legislature should be doing everything it can to encourage citizen participation, and it's just been the last 50 seconds where that's happened and doing nothing to discourage it.
We have something on the books that people
are unaware
of.
Your answer
of
to Norma.
Well, I agree with David. It's not going to kill the bill one way or another. The idea was that perhaps citizens should be aware that they are lobbying, for one thing, and we're not prohibiting them from the bill. And we could certainly raise the amount, if that's what it is.
And if they think that they have to lobby or sign up or report to call me up, I think that you're doing more harm than you'll ever do good.
Well, then raise the amount that the ordinary citizen who would be a bastard would come and talk to you, but there are certain individuals who would not if they're spending a large amount of their own money.
Anybody who would spend $250 in this effort should be classified.
Oh, I don't know. If people get outraged about something enough, fluoridation, for instance, or abortion, or any of these things, that they have a right to speak out on.
How many single people have spent that much money? This is any person.
I just don't see that there is an ill there that has to be cured, and I think that by trying to cure an ill that isn't there, you're going to do more harm than good. I go downstairs to vote, then it's a good thing because I wouldn't vote yes on it anyway. I'll be right back.
Okay. Let's change the amount to 250. And can we, in that same paragraph, put in excluding telephone and personal travel?
It's going to be $250 for personal postage.
I think the number of persons
who take
advantage of this is extremely small.
Just take off the for personal postage and just put excluding telephone and travel.
So you strike everything.
When you talk about the reporting period, of course, if you adopt at least this.
Well, leave the.
It to be a monthly reporting period. You're talking about permitting an exception for $1,250 a session.
You're right.
So
leave it at 50.
Highly unlikely.
Yeah, leave it at 50 and change this for travel and telephone. Oh no. Whoops. Excluding travel and telephone.
What about
lodging?
Yeah,
but
somebody else said it would be a part of travel.
No, it wouldn't be. Travel.
Normie?
Excluding travel,
lodging,
and telephone.
Then why about.
Well, they're going to have meals no matter where they are.
Yeah, it's Mike.
It's a logical question, Bob, on the question of a person acting solely on his own behalf, because after all, none of these bills are purely personal, and even I would claim to be working for the public interest, but I'm kind of knowledge myself. I don't think you'll get into any constitutional difficulty if you got in. You might have a one-man business, one-man industry.
Yeah. That's what
he would have to be working for a general class rather than for himself.
Yeah, acting solely on his own behalf is going to cause some problems.
Well, Well, then, if we took that out, I'd be more inclined to put the rest of it back in. I think when you start spending that much money, you're lobbying. And that's what the bill is about, is lobbying.
The other thing is to see how you're going to enforce it.
We're going to deputize all Common Cause members.
After they register.
Yeah, after they register. Are we going to delete then Acting Solely in his own behalf?
I would be inclined to take that out, but then do we need this section at all?
You ask for who a person represents, because normally he doesn't represent an organization. He comes and speaks out for the general interest.
He fills in self. Speak up, David.
Well, I think what you want to be careful of is the person who doesn't want to register as a lobbyist and so simply mobilizes the troops, they all come in, they all get to what they're getting expenses and meals without having to report a thing, and it can turn out to be a massive loophole.
Where have we taken care of the right to life people? Where are we taking care of the gun toters? Where are the Common Cause people?
Most of those have organizations.
We cover them insofar as they're representing the group. I feel that constitutionally it's their right to petition if they register. They're not going as group representatives but represent themselves or send you a letter themselves. And I think we would have constitutional difficulties.
What would happen in the case if I had our association decided that he felt that some action should be taken on the bill, but some individual pharmacist didn't agree with us, and he came down on his own behalf to testify before you. And he's doing it on his own behalf because he doesn't believe in what we do.
My view is that that's protected expression.
What about a guy that's got 200 acres of timber? He comes down to lobby on his own behalf, you know, for the timber. What about a guy that has 200 acres of timber and comes down to lobby on his own behalf? You know?
Well, come on, let's get this settled for a normal vote. You've got to use an objective pronoun instead of a nominative pronoun after an objective verb.
All
right. Okay. What are we trying to get at here? Let's look at it that way.
Actually, this is trying to exempt the person representative Paulson is concerned about.
Yeah, I know.
He's trying to say that if you don't otherwise fit the definition of a lobbyist, but you're spending your own money trying to influence the legislative process, there ought to be a monetary threshold under which you are free to carry on those activities as a citizen without registering and reporting. That's the object of it.
During the reporting period.
Yeah.
Okay, now what about exempting travel, lodging, and telephone?
If the amount is reasonable, sure.
Under $50.
Let's leave the $50 in and exempt travel, lodging, and telephone. Is that agreeable with the committee?
Is it leading to acting solely on
their
own behalf?
Yes.
During the reporting period?
Travel?
Lodging and telephone.
Lodging.
And I'm assuming he's got to eat no matter where he is.
And phone?
Yeah.
Would lodging include his...
Would he spend the $50 on?
Postage.
Yeah.
That's right.
The section would read, any individual who receives no consideration for lobbying who does not spend an amount in excess of $50 for personal postage.
We excluded for personal postage.
But excluding travel, telephone, and lodging.
Why don't we not include postage and just write in the exclusion?
So an amount in excess of $50 over and above travel, lodging, or
that. Well, you can say, in other words, who does not spend an amount in excess of $50 excluding travel, telephone, postage, and lodging, during the reporting period. So they excluded that and included everything else.
Drop the postage in your right.
Yeah,
now.
Drop the postage.
Yeah.
You put the postage in the exclusion.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you got everything else.
Okay, is that agreeable with the committee?
The postage. No, we said that the postage should be included
part
of $50.
Oh, that's within the $50. Okay.
Telephone.
Travel
and lodging.
Okay.
During the reporting period.
Included. Okay, then it would read any individual who receives no consideration for lobbying. Who does not spend an amount in excess of $50, excluding travel, telephone, and lodging, during the reporting period,
for solicitation described in paragraph C of subsection 5, well, that's going to be straightened out.
Ike, you got any comment on that?
You would say lobbying for solicitation, Dave?
I guess Grant, it
on that last line, we talking about telephone, during the reporting period for
you agree with
and lobbying and exclude the rest of it.
Right.
That's what we agreed on.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's correct. That's what we did.
You don't think we need it?
Well, I think if somebody's aware that there is this type of a regulation, that they will, not knowing what it is, will be hesitant. Do I or don't I? When we start making these
natural
really
to stop laws that are unenforceable, this certainly is not.
Yes, I feel that way too. And also that
I think Dharma's winning her argument for a wrong reason.
Well, not only is it unenforceable, I'm afraid it's what effects will have.
You mean every time a citizen comes down that day, they would have to risk it?
No, I don't want to do it.
We haven't been given any example of a citizen lobbyist who would exceed these limitations, who would spend more than $50 a month on entertainment, or duplicating, or, I don't know quite what.
Let's make the bill tougher than Common Cause wants it, and take out that paragraph. And then when they argue that it isn't tough enough, we'll say we made it tougher than Common Cause wanted it to.
But Common Cause doesn't want a bill that will be thrown out by the first court that looked at it.
Let's leave it in with the exemption.
You have to respect it.
50 bucks.
Little people.
Who's little people? You have little people in your district? I don't have those kind of people.
All right, what's the consensus of the committee? Do you want to leave the number 5 in as it is written?
As it's amended.
All right, read the amendment.
Any individual who receives no consideration for lobbying, who does not spend an amount in excess of $50 during the reporting period, excluding travel, telephone, and lodging, for lobbying, period.
Mr. Chairman, when you knocked out the second and slowly half, I think you don't have to amend that, however, and adopt C, any person and so forth, or other
on this one. No, see on the other one.
Individual for person?
Take out acting for his own, on his own behalf. You think it's what?
Whatever it wants.
I don't know. We get these people in the absence. Who are you representing? A lot of them say, I'm just representing myself. Or they say, representing the people on the block.
Well, I can see these gun nuts
Life
coming up from Klamath Falls.
There might be one way to wouldn't take in the gun nut problem.
It's all right if I say it, but you're not supposed to.
Well,
maybe it's all right if you say it, but I'm not supposed to. I guess that's it.
I've been told that when I'm talking legislator, you should limit your comments narrowly to the subject. it seems to me if you wanted to, there's another way to do it, and that's say an individual who's not acting for the economic or pecuniary benefit of another. And that would limit it to pecuniary kind of economic benefit. Well, I mean, it wouldn't take in the problem of the groups that don't have economic motives at heart. Come on, these things.
If it benefits me, though, it benefits all the newspaper publishers, probably.
It would certainly...
It would be harmful to me.
Well, it would certainly assist the man who came with the 200 acres of timber who represented his neighbor who got 350. Say, well, I represent myself and my neighbor.
I represent myself, but my neighbor also benefits.
Right.
I've never heard anybody come in and say, I represent myself and my neighbor. It's always there. I always see it themselves or they've got an organization.
I had a lobbyist come in today and said, I've been here for 31 years and it's the first time I've lobbied for anything for myself. He had a bill.
I don't think it's a problem with solely on his own
behalf.
Usually they're proud. If they're part of an organization,
yeah,
they're proud to, and they throw that out because it adds impact.
Yeah, but if he's just talking to his next door neighbor, and maybe he's saying, well, this is the way it's
saying
it.
That after 31 years of lobbying, he had enough money.
Then he comes up
buy a business of his
speaking
own.
On my own behalf.
For a long time.
Because he's not going to, you know, he just doesn't mention that he's also. I'm not going to argue about this.
And all the controversial items start in the next section.
Well, let's settle this damn thing or we're going to be here forever. What's the will of the committee? You want to leave acting solely on his own behalf in? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Guess I'm it. Minority report.
Those who want to take it out, say aye. Okay, it's out. Okay, is that...
kind of erasing it, too.
Does that take care of five?
Get a hole in your paper already?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that all the exclusions you
want to
put in?
Did you think you had another one?
No, I think that's all.
Do you people have one? Ike, you're taken care of now, and you're a man that comes down from Burns?
Nate, may I suggest one final change to the chairman? That is... to begin section 4, I don't know what section it would be under the rewritten bill as is, but it says the provisions of section 3 of this act, and again, I don't know what section 3 will ultimately be, so I would suggest that you put in the registration and reporting requirements of this act. Substitute that in section
3. Whatever turns out.
Yeah.
No. Where are you talking about?
Well, at the very beginning of what I turned section 4 under my proposed amendment to the committee to this evening.
Well, returning to our previous amendment adoption, you tell us when we get where you want to make a comment. We're looking at the Capital Club's amendments, and section 4 starts out with before engaging in lobbying, each lobbyist shall register. Now, are we at the same place you are?
Line by line,
clearly,
and you proposed five exceptions.
We have.
And all I was saying with respect to that is that instead of keying it into section 3, as the first line does, that you simply substitute the word registration and reporting requirements of this act, since both versions, the Capital Club and Common Cause, have registration and reporting as their requirements. And that way you don't have to worry about the cross reference, which are not
I'm with you.
Erroneous.
Okay.
Shouldn't
that and
the AOI deal at section 4 ORS 171-275, I believe.
Any problem?
What's the number? 7 what? Oh, doesn't. Okay.
Ike has one in here we haven't put in. There's anything about any person who appears before a legislative committee or the governor, but who is not a lobbyist. In addition, the subsection does not include any person whether or not subject to ORS 171-755 so on, who receives no compensation for such charity. You're all right on this other part of it, aren't you, right? The parts that we've adopted?
Yes.
I think you are, too. Okay, let's go on then. Section 4, and is that Section 4 or something else?
Yeah, that would be Section 5.
Sure? I thought we'd cut them out instead of adding them.
No, you added them.
I guess we added that. No, wait a minute. He doesn't want those. You want those included later on in this section, don't you, Dad?
Yeah, wherever your exception section is. I see two different bills here. The AOI suggested amendments have it as a, would be an amendment to ORS 171.760. In what they call Section 4. I have lost track of your chronology by section number. My point was these should be exceptions.
We're going to do these 171.760.
Reporting and registration requirements for every day.
Okay, let's go on then, and we'll put these in when we come to them. Section 4. Before engaging in lobbying, each lobbyist shall register with the legislative administrator. We changed that, didn't we? Oh, did we?
No.
Didn't we something file with a conflict of interest instead of filing with the legislative administration?
It'd be your ethics,
good fair practice, or vision.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Who we haven't identified yet.
Bill.
What if that bill makes sense? Okay. Where should they register? With the legislative administrator or with the conflict of interest people?
You don't have them unless 25, 39 passes.
We have
29.
Yeah, we don't have anything left.
You can create it again.
That's where they should register, rather than with the legislative administrator. The Secretary of State.
Would that do it, Chuck?
Yeah. It's 25,
29, 10. And the ethics division is created, so the Secretary of State doesn't have to give to the Secretary of State just to have any difficulty about having wherever it is that he's got
the... Okay.
And if it doesn't pass, then we should have a legislative
council
on here.
Okay, how do we word that, Chuck?
Well, if what you want to accomplish is to have the registration with the Secretary of State or with his ethics division of 25, 29 passes, I think
you can fix
that.
Okay, check with Chuck and work out that paragraph. Then. Okay, the name and address of the registrant. The name and address of each person by whom the registrant is employed or in whose interest he appears or works, and a designation by that person that the lobbyist is officially authorized to lobby for that person. Any problem? The designation of official authorization to lobby shall be signed by each office. No, we didn't say that, did we? By an officer of the corporation, association, organization, or other group, or by the individual by whom the registrant is employed or in whose interest he appears or works.
Now, do you want to make that an officer of each corporation, association?
Yes.
Or that's by...
That's where the thing is wrong.
Right. That's so the designation of official authorization to lobby shall be signed by an officer of each.
Yeah, that's where it belongs.
Corporation,
yeah.
Association, organization.
Right. In other words, somebody lobbies for more than one, like. Yeah.
You don't have to have so much time for one.
Each, what is it? Each?
Well, it'll be signed by an official officer of each such corporation, association, organization, or the group. Yeah.
I follow that. When you say other group or by individual or individual, or is that make sense?
Well, you could use person, but I mean, person defines not necessarily in the statute.
Other group?
So you said
you wouldn't have a group for each person? Well, if a person is defined comprehensively at the beginning of the argument by statute to include corporations, groups, associations.
Rather than individual.
You said any person by whom
the registrant, I mean, an individual could employ a lobbyist.
Oh, yeah.
And a lobbyist could have more than one individual.
That's right. So what are we arguing about? What's wrong with the rest of it?
Well, you could have somebody who was not working for corporations, but was working for more than one individual. And you only have to put down one.
Statement referred to in subsection 1 of this section shall be filed by a lobbyist prior to any lobbying activities. Right?
Session?
No, prior to...
Filed by a lobbyist.
Prior to any lobbying activities, I think.
Prior to any lobbying activities.
Because they might not be during the session.
Any lobbyist who engages in any lobbying activities during the session of the Legislative Assembly shall file with whomever we're talking about, not later than 30 days after the end of the session, a statement showing the total amount of all monies expended by the lobbyist for the purpose of lobbying during the session.
Yeah. Here, it seems to me, I would hope that the policy decision could be made to make this on a monthly.
Yeah, I have that question mark out beside you.
Every month during the session.
What's the consensus of the committee on that?
You want to put it after expended, put monthly?
Well, yeah. Shall file monthly with the legislative administrator. A statement showing a total. Whatever it is. Shall file monthly. Now tell us how bad that cripples you. Say that again. I was looking at Bill. What are you doing here? Come on in. Come on in.
We're to see how much money we're spending. Wait.
Okay, what's that, Henry?
If you're going to change it to monthly, there it says
you'll
file with the legislative.
Yeah.
The statement, monthly statement, showing the total amount of money spent.
Yeah, that's fine. Now, what about, you wouldn't want to keep on doing that when the session's over?
Well, this says during the session.
All right, during the session then.
How do you have that, Grant, that last one?
Well, it would read, any lobbyist who engages in any lobbying activities during any session of the Legislative Assembly shall file with the blank
a monthly statement
showing the total amount of all monies expended by the lobbyist for the purpose of lobbying during the session.
No,
during the preceding month.
Oh, right.
Now I wonder, should we put a date on there instead of saying monthly? Should we say for the 15th of the month or by the first of the month or the 80th of the month? 80th of the month. You'd like that. Yeah, but I think if you don't tell them when, then each guy's going to have a different.
Within 10 days. By the 10th of each month.
Well, then, instead of saying a monthly statement, just say a statement by the 15th of every month during the session.
For the prior month. Mr. Chairman, may I suggest that the possible language in subsection 6 and section 3, which is on page 5 of the Old House Legislative Association, if you bring any session of legislative assembly instead of the quarterly report, starting in subsection 4. Every registering lobbyist for legislative action shall file such a report within 15 days of the end of each calendar month.
Monthly, not quarterly.
And we're not in session?
Oh, no, I'm not going to. Let's see what section, next section says. There's next. No, we're in, still in one. We're still in one in section five. I think that's pretty good language.
Well,
yes. Each registrant under this section shall file with blank a report concerning his activities during the preceding month. What, how do you word that?
Well, you could write it like this and say, Chuck, any lobbyist who engages in any lobbying activities during any session of the legislative assembly shall file with the blank on the on or before the 15th of each month a statement showing the total amount of all monies expended by the lobbyist for the purpose of lobbying in the preceding month.
But in the preceding calendar month, maybe we ought to say.
Calendar month, right.
In the preceding calendar. So on March 15th, you'd have to have your filed for February.
Right, right. Well, on the 15th of February,
you file for January.
That's all you're going to have. You won't have to say anything else.
January, you wouldn't have a month to file, I wouldn't think.
I know.
Yeah. So you put January, February, and the March statement. Okay, that's adopted. Okay, two.
Any lobbyist who influences or attempts to influence any of the official functions of the Legislative Assembly or any committee thereof during a time when the Legislative Assembly is not in session shall file with the blank not later than January 15th of the year following the year in which such influencing activities were carried on. A statement showing the total amount of all monies that were not previously reported pursuant to subsection 1 of the section that were expended during such previous year for purpose of such influencing activity.
Kind of stilted, but... Yeah, Dave.
To suggest one section. The first one is, after the word any lobbyist who, rather than put in what really is another attempt to define lobbyist, say any lobbyist who lobbies. During a time when the Legislative Assembly is not in session.
By that, was that the substantive one, or
no,
was that the...
That's a straight procedure, Winter. The substantive one is that, particularly since there will be continuing lobbying activities, and since administrative agencies don't necessarily obey the legislative calendar, yeah. That means the quarterly reports are appropriate rather than year-end reports.
Yeah.
I thought that might come up. Didn't you, Henry? And you were all ready for it, weren't you? And you were prepared to bow to the will of the committee on that matter. I thought you probably were. All right, let's change that to quarterly.
Who's Bobby New here?
Where are we starting? Mm-hmm.
Shall file quarterly with the blank.
Blankety blank.
Did you sign this, Secretary of State?
Well, we're going to get the proper wording from Chuck and Granton are going to work that out because there's two parts, the Secretary of State or the Ethics Committee.
Under the fourth line, shall file quarterly with
them. Rather than trying to work it out, we're going to get that one. And when you get your next version, it'll have that in. But it was probably designated.
How come we went to quarterly now?
Because the lobbyists volunteered to report more often than the bill required them. And it makes it tougher than the...
That's their privilege.
I guess it doesn't. Okay, three. What? Yeah. Same thing. Good.
So that you could probably get caught with it, you'd end up with, in fact, if you went into the session, went into July, you'd end up with an August report through July and a quarterly report for that third quarter.
Or any other quarter.
Previous reported material. That's right.
That's what they're aiming for. Sure. Changing influencing or attempting to influence any of the official functions of the legislative assembly substitute for that word lobbying. Be sure that lobbying activities are
any lobbyist who lobbies or attempts to influence any of the official functions.
It could. Yes, let's say that very broadly
defined
the action.
The committee will please shut up.
Chuck, if I'm not mistaken, lobbying, but that would include legislative and then the executive and then anybody who is under making rules under Chapter 183, under our definition of lobbying.
Chuck, it could include, for example, the report of an interim committee. Any attempt to influence the content of that report as proposed legislation is now defined as legislation and as the committee has adopted earlier this evening. That's really important.
That's what I wonder if that's clear.
Well, you're a writer. You make it clear so you understand it.
Legislation defined comprehensively is versus anything a legislature or its committees or houses can do to enter out of setting. Lobbying is defined as an attempt to influence that process.
I guess that's my question. Your first premise is that exactly.
The instructions for the committee to shut up includes those not members of the committee but are sitting at the table.
Oh, excluding.
Are you okay, Chuck? Okay, there we go. Yes. Do you make quarterly budgets?
Yearly.
Only yearly. No, I don't think a budget necessarily means that's what you're expended. Well, if you have a deficit at the end of the year, I think you're probably working too hard to influence legislation.
Correcting wrong.
Well, I don't think we would accept anything less than quarterly, some sort of report quarterly. No, you can't, because I think what we're talking about is what you spent from August 1st to October 1st.
We have monthly statements.
Yeah, but you can't take just a quarter of that. A monthly statement, you have? Well, that's fine. Yeah, I know. What you want to do is just Xerox your three monthly statements and give them to the power who be. Okay, you get together with Chuck and anything you can work out that doesn't lessen the intent of the bill, the committee will buy. Speak.
It seems to me, though, that case of
multiple lobbyists.
That would encompass a lot more than just lobbying. That wouldn't
that would also entail whatever servicing you do for membership. It would cover research that is just solely for benefit of members. It would cover a whole range of things although it would reveal a great deal of, as you say, you know, go beyond, it wouldn't fulfill, but seems to me to be the intent is to isolate what is extended on behalf of lobbying. Not give an accurate picture in that respect.
We're lobbying our extension year round.
That's their function, so why not extend them?
Well, I'm thinking that there are other groups like AFL-CIO in exactly the same position Ike's in on that. Oregon Education Association.
Yeah, but my point is that if they just file a quarterly budget, broken down quarterly, in the case of certain unions, that would tell you absolutely nothing about no lobbying or little lobbying or an association. It was all yours, the union case, the board of farms, you know, in the office. There's a lot of other things you did tell you nothing about the relative magnitude of the lobbying that was done. It's kind of like,
isn't it?
I don't know, your budget really is broken out either. I don't know. Is it really that much extra work for an organization of your size, magnitude, influence, and personal capacity? What is that word? To spin out just what we're interested in? Is that the session? We don't require so far for whom the money is expended.
Even during the legislative session, only a relatively small portion of their budget is devoted to lobbying. They're going on with negotiations, they're going on with all sorts of teacher benefits, lives, I don't know, whatever, the whole range of serious activities that they undertake. Maybe only 5% of it would be lobbying of Group A. I don't think you can just... I think it would defeat the purpose of the bill. If the purpose of the group is exclusively lobbying as defined the provisions of this act, fine. That would be probably acceptable. But if their major function or defined in some portion is not lobbying, I think that I'd have a breakout of how much they.
What if you said that they could do that and indicate what percentage was extended the lobbying method? Well, I mean, but if that's their sole function is, and the reason for their existence is to lobby, then what's the problem?
If that's the case, and they're solely lobbying,
and then all they put is 100%. OEA says 25% of their budget.
I don't know where they call these coffin nails. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Say, when's the governor going to sign that bill? I walked in here and this is a real smoke.
I'm the window one. Oh, I'll agree with you.
Thank you, Mr. Congressman.
Mr. Chairman.
You're not going to put it in, are you?
Along this line, the original bill specifies that the blankety blank should designate forms and has some uniformity in the
right.
That's the procedure. Perhaps we should incorporate that requirement.
It's got to be in here. And supply them.
Yes.
I assumed we hadn't yet come to that, George.
That was back in Section 9.
I don't think we've come to it yet, have we?
That's section 9.
Section 9, yeah, I think, George. Okay.
Well, yeah, section 2 says special registration
form shall be provided by the registration. Probably combine them all in one section. Section 9 probably. I think we'll take that up again when we get to it. Okay. Statements required by this section need not include the amounts received by the lobbyist for personal living expenses, nor amounts received by him as income or salary. If the amount of any expenditure required be included in a statement is not accurately known at the time the statement is required to be filed, an estimate thereof shall be submitted in the statement and corrected on the following filed statement. Statements required by this section shall include amounts received by the lobbyist for personal expenditures, for personal living expenses, and amounts received by him as income or salary. This is what you're suggesting.
Yes. And then the estimate be designated as an estimate.
Yeah.
And be corrected the following.
Okay, take up the first part of it first. Rebuttal?
We stated our objection with this, that we don't feel that
okay, he receives $1,000 a month, whether he's in session or out of session. How does he spin out $250 for lobbying?
I would assume that there'd be some sort of estimated amount, you know, that portion of his job that relates to.
Can you do it any better?
Well, it could be done by rule and regulation. You can give the Secretary of State or the Ethics Commission, whatever it is, rulemaking power. But this type of problem is solved all the time under the Internal Revenue Code by allocating floor space of homes to business activities as opposed to others. There's nothing in principle that makes that impossible to do. The prorating of salary could be done in terms of total business, and that would certainly.
If you're going to deal with that kind of thing, if you're going to, that's the theory.
I think,
how about the people that are coming down here that you're talking about? Are they going to have to send out part of their salary?
If they're compensated for lobbying, yes. But we
Neil Goldschmidt comes down, takes a day from work and comes down.
Well, we've exempted those public. But I just cannot imagine, and this is the point you were making earlier, and it still escapes me, that makes a difference if you're paying someone $250 a month or you're paying someone $2,500 a month, to suggest that doesn't have a bearing on the amount or quality of lobbying. Or you're paying someone $50 a month for expenses and entertainment.
Well, let's take Henry's case in particular.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, the fundamental point I'm trying to make, and it's a separate issue, I think, and one that's soluble, when we talk about apportioning a certain percentage of job and expense, salary and expenses to that part of his employment that's attributable to lobbying. And the fundamental premise that, and I'd like a response on, I think it makes a difference if you're talking about someone who is getting $300 a month salary and $100 expenses, as opposed to someone who is making $2,500 a month and has is given credit cards. Now, you can't tell me that there's not a qualitative difference in the task, what's being expected, and what's in making is being performed. Right, there are a lot of very employers.
Particularly in terms of, we have a lot of association with executives. That because of the legislation, this has been added on our work. It's been out here. There are others as well.
But no increase in pay.
No increase in pay.
That's a portion of the job.
You could write it by simply saying statements required by this section shall include those amounts received by the lobbyist for personal living expenses, income, or salary for the purposes of lobbying. Just take this part out.
Mr. Chairman, in going over this, we had a number of sessions about this. The multitude of problems. As a practical matter, this is impossible to report in any accurate fashion. It would have to be guesswork at best. Then there's all kinds of problems that make it difficult in other respects. For example, and I might ask Representative Cole about this, I don't think that I can publish in the newspaper what I charge one of my clients. I think that's his business and it's my business. It has no relation to the legislative process, whatever. If I spend a certain amount of money having to do with the legislative process, that would be legislative input, not whether I make $25,000 a year or $5,000. And so in breaking these things out, we run into all these ethical problems. A question of accuracy, we have, and the more you think about it, the more examples that turn up, the more impossible it becomes. So we feel we cannot live with an income reporting requirement on this.
That's because you're an attorney.
No, not necessarily. I think that group as a whole, everybody has different kinds of problems.
Well, I mean, you're saying that you couldn't report it because it violates the confidentiality between attorney and client.
That would be one example of a problem.
And a non-attorney lobbyist would not have that restriction, though.
No, or a public official whose salary is published in a blue book or something. But each person appears to have different problems peculiar to him. All add up to an impossibility to accept an income reporting thing. Now, as far as breaking stuff out for your tax returns and that type of thing, that's okay. This is a confidential report. What we're talking about here is something that can be published in the newspaper or any place else. That's entirely different. The work is going to come. And we just in no way were able to accommodate.
And it's going to make it pretty difficult for some of these people that have maybe two or three clients. That maybe one client is paying them $500 and another client is paying them $1,000, and pretty soon the one paying $500 says, well, how much? I don't know what the rhyme or reason is for the lobbying activities. I imagine that you see the amount of time that they expect to spend.
I know what the rhyme or reason is. The only thing is, I don't know whether it's practical or not.
Mr. Mr. Chairman, it would seem to me almost that if we're using this concept, that we could also say the guy that takes a day off of work and comes down here and spends his day on something for himself should also claim how much wages he gave up then, because that also went into the legislative process. The amount of wage he gave up to come down here and lobby that bill, too. So I think we've got to make a policy decision on this point.
We do.
You could pull it way out and say, if George Cole is an attorney and makes so much a day normally, actually, attorney isn't a good one. Say a bricklayer wants to come down here and lobby on a bill, but normally he makes $75 a day. He gave up $75 a day to come down here and lobby.
The thrust of what we're talking about.
You want cash into it.
Is that it's not what people are giving up. You know, who can tell how much, you know, George is giving up $5 a day to be a legislator, or someone comes down and he's giving up something. But the point is, where people are actually being paid to influence decisions, where they're not motivated themselves, where they're not taking it out of their own pocket, you know, that they're suffering financial loss. I think there's a distinction, at least in my mind, there's a distinction in that there's a difference between someone who's paid by the Teamsters.
What are we trying to do,
Brian? $30,000 a year to be down here, and an individual Teamster.
What are we trying to show, though? Yeah. What are we trying to say? We're trying to say that this much money was spent to get this legislation passed, right?
The amount of money that has been invested by a third party to influence legislation.
George?
By whatever is meant to influence that legislation, not by what you paid the guy to come down and make it.
Isn't that part of it?
Well, another analogy, Mr. Chairman. We've gone, at least I've referred several times to campaign spending laws. If George, as an attorney, decides he's going to forego that $5 a day to work for Bill Holmstrom's re-election, Holmstrom does not have to include that in his campaign expenditure report, because we've decided that if somebody's going to take their own time, the political process, that's free. You can't put a price on someone's spare time or time off work or vacation. But we have decided if one of George's clients pays George to work on Holmstrom's campaign, that is recorded. Because there's a qualitative difference there when it's George doing it himself and evaluating somebody's spare time, and when it can evaluate how much he's being paid in dollars and cents to go out and work on it.
Okay, let me give an example. I'm a shop foreman over here at Capital Chevrolet, and Les Green says, I want you to take the day off and go over and testify on a mechanic's bill. Just testify. He's going to pay my monthly wage regardless. So you have to figure out how much I would have made that day, how much I did make that day, and Les Green was paying me to come over here and testify, actually. He's still paying that wage, and I'm coming over here just to testify, but that's money that's being spent to influence legislation. I don't care how you know, I'm just saying, we've got to make that policy decision and then draw the line how far we want to go into it.
Okay. I'm just suggesting that where you make the policy distinction is when somebody is paid to lobby.
Well, okay, but is that guy paid to lobby then?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay, well that's a policy decision.
I don't want to turn any more views. I think the committee has heard exhaustively on the salary question, but I simply would like to know if the question of exempting personal living expenses seems to me to be a wholly different kind of question than all the arguments about personal privacy and whatever that have been made. I don't think that there's no reason whatsoever for classing that the same as salary. Whatever's done with the salary question.
Find anything about living expenses in Section 3.
Well, as it reads now,
it's
not including amounts received by the lobbyist or for
I don't know,
Well, they
sound like they're on seaport, aren't they? Not most of them, but a good deal of them. The client will have a bill that he wants passed or killed. So a lobbyist will be hired to for that specific purpose. Maybe his fee will be $5,000. And that's all he gets. And what he does with that $5,000 is what we talk of, refer to as influence. He may rent an apartment. He may take his living expenses out of it. And he'll entertain legislators or whatever he does to attempt to influence that legislation. I don't frankly see what the $5,000 has to do with this bill. What he uses, what part of it he uses of that to directly buy, as we have said, direct communication or whatever it is. Direct communication to influence the legislation before us. In our own preamble, we speak of the necessary that the identity, expenditures, and activities of the person to engage in efforts to persuade them is what we're looking for.
Dave, could an attorney legally put down the amount received from a client like that?
Well, I don't.
Probably should.
I don't know of any prohibition in the canons of ethics, but I don't want to claim to be an expert. I haven't read them for about 6 months. I don't know of any ethical prohibition against that disclosure. I don't want to make an authoritative statement. So
wait a minute. Chuck? No opinion?
You wouldn't have a client very well if you did.
I don't think the client would like it. I think that's fair. But I think that's different.
George, do you think it's unethical?
It's unethical to the extent you will disclose who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. You're required to do that now anyway. Aren't you required to lobby? If you lobby on behalf of? Yes, you'd be required to have him register as your employer, or say that you're employed by him to lobby anyway, under whatever version of the program.
Yeah, you'd be required to say I'm employed by Warehouse or Lumber Company, but you don't say what your fee is. Okay.
It just seems to me that what George is saying is it's already probably unethical for a lawyer to disclose who his client is. That normally isn't done, but we've already accepted.
If you're hired to do this, your employer will know he's going to be disclosed.
Well, that's the whole point I was
going to
make, is that
I'm going
to
be required to listen.
Therefore, it treats all attorneys equally. There's no sweat on that. The sweat is...
But the point I'm trying to make is already it's treated as common practice for attorneys who are lobbyists to register who they're... And normally this is not done. But we've already accepted that. We feel it's important enough for them to disclose who they're lobbying for, that this public purpose is served. Now, if this bill were adopted, the attorney would simply say, not only do I have to disclose that I'm working for you, but I would have to reveal, or any other attorney or anybody else lobbying for you, would have to disclose the amount of fee. And I don't foresee that there's any ethical problem involved there. It's the same that we've already bridged.
Answer me this, Merle. Henry gets 12,000 a year. He gets 12,000 a year whether it's a session or no session. In the years there's a special session, he still gets 12,000 a year. In the years there's no special session, he gets 12,000 a year. Now, how does he know how much of that salary is expended for lobbying?
I don't know the mechanics. I would assume that a determination could, an estimate could be made, the guidelines could be promulgated by the Secretary of State or whoever to apportion some percentage of his time to the legislature. And if, for example, there was a special session, it could be estimated and could be corrected.
Could he say that I do my lobbying for free? I'm paid by the Pharmaceutical Association as the Executive Secretary. I do my lobbying for free.
In my spare time.
I'm just...
Yes, and I appreciate it. I think that's where we come in with the filing officer, and that's where we have to develop some rules on
on how to apportion it, and I'm sure that there will be, if we had the Ethics Commission, we talked about advisory opinions and just kind of building up a background here of rules to guide people in making these determinations for the Bar Association. I'm not saying it's simple. The only point I'm trying to make is that it's an important enough ingredient in what's going on. And the amount of money expended to hire someone, I think, is directly proportional, or has, at least has some direct relationship to what they expect to get out of it. There's a difference between the graduate student who gets gas money back and forth to Salem and a couple hundred dollars a month, and someone going out and hiring LB Day or Hughes.
But how is LB, for instance, going to segregate? What
he already does it. He has to keep track because of federal laws regulating political activity. He's got to apportion the percentage of his time spent on lobbying in the state legislature, as distinguished from agitating with the workers or whatever he does in real life. that's already done. In LB, they already do. They have to already, or to fulfill federal laws, and there are others, I'm sure, that are the same. And they do it.
I think you're right. Unions do have to show what they spend on lobbying because it's
just different funds.
Anybody, do we have a Solomon in the crowd to cut the child in half?
What's that mean?
That's what?
Yeah, I think you're in the wrong committee.
I think that's the human resources.
Good, babe, good. No, that's good. Henry? It looks as though, no matter which way we go, we'll probably have a minority report on this paragraph.
I hope so.
That would mean we'd let the Legislative Assembly decide that paragraph.
Cross the boat further and suggest that the question of itemizing expenditures is not required by this version.
What are we comparing this? Where is it?
Well, you'd be comparing it to House Bill 2530.
Yeah.
Section 4 on page 4, subsection 5, A, B, C.
Understand why the two of you could never agree to reach an agreement in this area.
What would you like to do, itemize or?
That's the problem you have. Some of them have to report to their employers on the basis of what they expend in order to get reimbursed for it, and others that are on a flat,
great,
container where they spend out of that whatever they think is necessary.
The rest
is
their salary.
The rest is what they take home.
But Chairman, is there anyone who doesn't, regardless of what category they're in, keep records for tax purposes? I'm certain if even the person you're talking about who's just on a retainer, dollars for the session. I'm certain would itemize those for tax purposes. He'd much rather, and he'd like to itemize, I'm sure, as much of that he had to expend as possible, so they don't have to pay taxes on it. Under this version, as I recall, we were willing to exempt $25 or $10 or make some sort of reasonable limitation. But the point is, right now, virtually everybody, either required by their employer or for tax purposes, have to itemize within some reasonable limit.
Okay, we're not going to settle it. So what we'll do is vote on it, and if...
Mr. Chairman, I'd move we require them to be itemized, or we delete the requirement that they have to include their personal living expenses or salary.
Okay, you've heard...
What's that?
I don't know what that
is. That's how the amendment...
Yeah, adopt the amendment, section 3 there.
We've already adopted these amendments.
Amend them.
But somebody else on the committee will have to move to amend them.
I'll move to amend them in such a manner.
Representative Dorelli moves that sub 3 be amended to delete need not and put in shall, delete nor and put in and.
Is this what you want, George?
No,
that's not what you stated.
I'll accept
He wants present language.
He wants present language.
Present language, but will require itemization.
Yeah, well...
You would take paragraph A of subsection 5 or page 4 of the original printed bill.
No.
Oh.
No, he's saying... He's taking this.
Well, yeah, somewhat like that.
Well, why don't we just adopt this section 5A.
Categories. I don't know if those are categories you want. Travel postage. I forward. One of my suggestions, members of the Capitol Club suggested, I mean, those categories of expenditure are inconvenient and sometimes perhaps impossible to segregate out. It might be simpler to say, shall itemize every expenditure over $25. Something of that, setting a finite limit so that they aren't in a position of having to itemize every cocktail or every cup of coffee, but that if both expenditure of both $25 or over be identified. I don't know if that would be less burdensome or equally burdensome in terms of how Henry and his colleagues might react. But that's another way of solving the problem without setting out artificial categories.
Now, we have adopted these amendments. Now, if there's to be a change in sub 3 of section 5, then if there is no change, it stands as it is written. So you've got to propose an amendment.
That's what we're trying to figure out, Mr. Chairman,
all right.
How to avoid the itemization requirement.
Okay. Who's trying to figure it out?
Peg.
You and Peg?
Yeah.
All right. Well, she's figuring that out. My understanding, section 6 is agreeable to both parties, right? No, it's all right the way it is. Is that right, Dave? You agreed on section 6.
And not set down in categories?
Okay. Section 7. Each report, registration, or statement required by ORS.
Are you going ahead on
this? We're letting you guys work out what you want to propose.
Yeah, you're going ahead, and I don't want you to do that.
Okay, well, we just. The section 6 is agreed to by both parties. We'll wait. Get on with your job. Don't be.
Are you back on that?
How's that? Very simple.
That's what we want, something we can understand.
One line. All expenditures in the excess of $25 shall be.
All expenditures.
All expenditures. expenditures in excess of $25 shall be itemized in said statement.
That is section sub 1 of section 5.
Well, I don't know exactly where it's going to go, but
statements
required in this section.
Okay. What we're working with is this.
Yeah, I know, and that's where I'm at, but I didn't see how you could put it into section 3. Statements required in this need not include.
Yeah, I think section 5 sub 1 would be better.
Shall file with blankety blank a monthly statement.
The total amount of money expended by the lobbyist.
Why don't we say all expenditures shall be itemized except that expenditures during the reporting period of $25 or less necessary to be reported, described during a particular item, necessary to be reported, may be reported in total amounts rather than in detail.
Well, bank statement goes naturally in section 5.1.
So section 1, sub 1. Section 5, sub 1.
Yeah.
Time to go home.
All expenditures shall be itemized except that expenditures of $25 or less may be reported in total amount rather than in detail.
Yeah, that's fine. What are you going to do about sub 3? Then you would leave sub 3 as it is?
Well,
I make no amendment to sub 3.
We're just going to hit the expenditures. Should we put in sub 5, section 5, sub 1?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't care what you put. Have you got it?
Yep. I mean, I don't know. Grant, you got it?
Doubtful, but I think we can get it. It's,
what you're doing. No, forget that.
No, you're picking up language out.
Yeah, but
you're picking up language
out.
You
write it down.
See,
you write it down.
Yes. All right.
All expenditures shall be itemized. Except. Expenditures of $25 or less may be reported in total amount rather than in detail.
And that will go into sub
1. Into sub 1 of.
That's all we want. I think that will cover the.
And then you're leaving 3 as it is.
As far as I'm concerned.
I'm only addressing myself to sub 1 in my amendment.
So you're picking it up out of line 11-14 is the original bill.
Okay, what does that mean? All expenses over $25, what does that mean? Does that mean living expenses, and then which were contradicted down below?
There's an exception to that.
Uh-huh.
Three stands.
Okay.
Three stands
then. Three stands as is.
Right.
Mr. Blumenauer.
Then just to clarify this, as the committee stands now, they're going to exclude 80 to 90% of the money that's expended to lobby. Is going to be excluded. You're going to exclude all of them. I would submit that you're not doing very much if you're going to exclude the major portion of lobbying expense. And you're going to create a loophole big enough. There will henceforth will be no entertainment expense, probably. It will all be for living expenses and all be salary.
Something that bothers me, and we talked about it before, Earl, and I don't know how it works into this.
Thing that you want to know about to influence legislation.
If you expend money by hiring a person, you have to tell how much you spend on him, do you not? In other words, Capital AAA would have to say how much they paid that guy during that day, or should they not? Wouldn't that be an expenditure that they're paying out?
Nothing in this bill, as it's now written.
We talked about that before, but I don't know how we covered it. Maybe we didn't. Just talked about it, and that was all.
That your point's well taken. Someplace, but
somebody paid the money somewhere.
Yeah, but it would only be an income tax return. It wouldn't be any public money.
I see. Remember when we talked about that before,
yeah,
John? I don't remember. We talked about whoever spent the money originally is going to have to file it as an expenditure for lobbying.
That was true under House Bill 2530, but it's not true under this.
It's not under this one.
It still doesn't require the employer of a lobbyist.
Okay.
Again,
well, that's a big thing.
Okay. Okay. That was somewhere back there months ago.
So you never pick up that payment in this process.
Okay. Sorry.
No, I don't know.
I'm trying to get, remember how.
You so move, Ms. Drelly?
I so move.
What's
your
amendment?
You've heard the amendment to sub 1 of section 5.
If I'm not mistaken, it reads thus. Any lobbyist who engages in any lobbying activity during any session of the legislative assembly shall file with the blank a monthly statement showing the total amount of all monies expended by the lobbyist for the purpose of lobbying, except the expenditures during the reported period of $25 or less necessary to be reported and described during.
All expenditures shall be itemized,
except that expenditures of $25 or less may be reported in total amount rather than in detail. It can be added in the second part of that first one.
Okay, you've heard the amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
I guess we kind of split on this one.
Yeah, I guess we do. This is just to subsection 1, though.
This is just the subsection 1.
All right.
If there's no amendment, sub 3 stands as we have it here.
Do you have an amendment in?
How do you want it, the way it reads right now?
Make your amendment. You might change my mind. It sounds good. Reasonable.
If somebody wants to make an amendment, you know, it does not read the way Earl suggested it be.
That's for sure.
Why don't you get to
anything
the
like
Earl, and we'll go ahead with the rest of it.
You don't need to get that with Earl. It's already down here the way Earl wants it. It says shall include amounts received by the law.
No, it does not say that.
That's what Peg said one time there.
I didn't say that.
Read now that
just the way it's printed.
Originally, shall and were struck.
Yep.
We never voted on that.
No, those were only suggested.
I can be temporarily appointed to your committee. I'll make a motion.
Yeah.
You may go to an authority higher than I am in the legislature to get temporarily appointed to the committee, but I cannot do that.
Well, I certainly would like to get to the problem, but I don't think that this... living expenses and income and salary is going to...
All right.
The person who employs the lobbyist, I can make a statement.
What we're going to do is...
How do you do that?
Get a drafted thing. And you have an opportunity later on to amend it if you have something that you want to put in there, and we'll vote on it at that time. But as of now, this is it.
Would be that we put on the end of that sub three that you would designate the estimate at such and correct it when the information was available.
Okay, I think, is there any objection to that amendment? Okay. Now, you understand we will have this whole thing printed up before we have it in the bill form. And if anybody
has an amendment to any section.
Have it ready at the next meeting.
Have it ready at the next meeting, please.
Are we done already?
No.
Why don't we go on?
Section 6 is finished.
How about the lobby in favor?
How about what?
How about
Section 6?
Both sides have agreed that that section's all right.
Well, I just heard it says to obtaining employment to lobby in opposition. I just want to remind everyone of employment to lobby in favor.
Okay, no lobby shall instigate the introduction of a measure for the purpose of obtaining employment to lobby in opposition or in favor thereto.
Why don't we just make a period after lobby?
I think maybe that takes care of it. Good idea. Let's take off in opposition there, too. Let's read these just in case. No lobbyist shall attempt to influence the vote of any member of the Legislative Assembly on any measure by the promise of financial support for his candidacy or by threat of financial opposition to his candidacy at any future election. No committee chairman shall refuse to pass out a bill unless... Go ahead. No person shall lobby or offer to lobby for compensation, any part of which is contingent upon the success of any lobbying activity. You want to change that to
consideration?
No person shall knowingly or willfully make any false statement or misrepresentation of fact to any legislative or executive official, or knowing a document being false statement cause a copy of such document to be received by a legislative or executive official without notifying such official in writing of the truth. No legislative official shall receive compensation from any person other than the state of Oregon for acting as a lobbyist for legislative action.
Consideration
there again. Mm-hmm.
Again, the word legislation might be substituted for legislative action. Use the definition.
Mm-hmm. See, if we'd gone with the
comment. Are you knocking out the contingency and sub 3? Why are you knocking with the action?
If we'd have gone on the consent calendar, we wouldn't have made these 4 important changes. Okay, section 7. How much more of this is there? We changed section 6.
We don't have executive official anymore.
We don't have that in the definition. We don't define an executive official.
No.
Section 7, what?
Sub 4. I'm still up on sub 4 in section
5.
You're right.
Okay, take out or executive official. Wait a minute.
Legislative.
How about legislative republic
official? Well, now, if you say legislative official, are you sure you're not qualifying it to only the Speaker of the House or the Whip or whatever?
We define legislative official. We mean any member or member elected legislative assembly, any member of commission established by or so it doesn't include the governor.
What should be in there instead of?
If they use public official, would that cover everybody?
I'm concerned that this doesn't say lobbyist, because any person from down on 428 South 7th Street in Hines, Oregon can... Well, that's what I wonder if it shouldn't.
Probably
Okay, what should we substitute for executive, if anything? Just eliminate for executive. Such document to be received by a legislative official without knowing such an official of the writing of the truth, in writing of the truth. Correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're down to 7.
1. Each report, registration, or statement required by ORS 171.755 to 171.775 shall be signed and certified as true and correct by the person required to submit it.
Why have I put legislative up there? What does that mean? Anything? Anybody else got that notation on here, section 7?
No.
Okay.
Delete for legislative action at the end of sub 5
to. Oh, maybe that's what it was. Yeah, that's where that belongs.
Legislation.
Yeah, legislation, that's where that belongs.
Okay. Already have it done.
Legislation rather than legislative action?
Yes, legislation instead of legislative action.
Subsection 1 covered it well enough, didn't we?
Question, what you say is accurate. We're trying to write a bill on lobbyists, though. And I don't know if that should appear someplace else in the law.
Would the Ethics Commission in 25-29 be concerned about people that come down and testify on their own? Too, you know, for themselves.
Supposing they send a copy of an editorial from the Medford Mail Tribune that's full of inaccuracies. Would that be in violation of the law? If we write it this way? Well, but I picked a paper that might be.
I think that's what we're talking to.
I do too. If you want to put in a bill to the effect that includes everybody in the state, I think it has to be in a separate bill, eh?
You're supposed to have, you know, a lot of people may not have the correct information when they come
in. The ethics.
You know, don't go down the street. I mean,
shall knowingly or willfully.
Your point's very well taken, but I think...
Another bill.
Yeah, I think it should be someplace else.
Well, okay, if it's somewhere else, do we need to say it here then?
No, we had talked about the other lady.
I'm talking about the other person.
Not the other person.
I think that the problem is funny above a bill present shall lobby or offer to lobby present throughout that particular section. Yeah, but we're talking about lobbying.
you're talking about, I can't come to you and say, for consideration, I'll get that bill killed.
We could define a citizen lobby.
Or I could just write as hell, but I just don't think this is the place to make any change in it. Because this bill is strictly on lobbying. No lobbyist shall, and no other person should. Okay. No legislative official shall receive consideration from any person other than the state of Oregon for acting as a lobbyist for legislation. We did that. Oh, geez, we're way below that. We killed sub 2 of section 7.
So can I do that, Mr. Chairman?
McFarland. Sub 1 say both things?
You could make sub 1 both by saying each report, registration, or statement required
Yeah.
Shall substantially conform to law and the truth, and to be signed and certified as such.